This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. Thank you for joining me. My name is Jim Santel. I am the host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings here on those same broadcast stations. I am joined in the Racine Park studio of Civic Media by my terrific producer, Jacob. And together, for the next 2 hours, we are going to be talking about some of the major issues of the days. We have a special couple of hours lined up for you here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Let me begin by thanking Maggie once again for letting me sit in for her on this day when we are going to tackle those and other issues that may come to your attention during the course of these next 2 hours. As always, as Maggie does, as Jacob does, I will invite your questions, your comments, your inquiries, your observations about the things on our syllabus, on our ambitious agenda. You can call in. You can be a part of our discussion this very afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show. That number is 855-752-4842. One more time, that's 855-752-4842. There is also a wonderful mechanism for you to send to Jacob and to me your observations, your comments on our chat line. Be a part of our discussion here this afternoon on Wednesday, August 6th. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Once again, honored that you have chosen to spend some of your time this afternoon with me and Jacob and others who may be a part of our conversation. Let me tell you about our outline for this hour and also next hour. Again, commentary on some major, including at least one breaking issue, and then two very special guests at the end of this first hour and the end of the second hour. Let me tell you about them first because you want to hold on. You want to be a part of our conversation, a part of our broadcast at that time. In the second half hour of our first hour, the broadcast this afternoon, I'm going to be talking with a friend, a lawyer, an advocate named Sandy Pendleton, Alexander Pendleton. He's a lawyer. And beyond that, beyond being a successful attorney, he has also been a dramatically important and significant advocate in finding ways to address this issue of reckless driving, not just in Milwaukee, throughout the state of Wisconsin, and frankly, has applications throughout the United States of America. Sandy will be with me in the second portion of this first hour to talk, first of all, about the inspiration that he had to take on this major, significant issue that threatens our safety and security. We're going to talk about the things that he has found out in terms of the dimension of the problem that we are confronting throughout Wisconsin, especially in southeastern Wisconsin, but beyond as well. He'll tell us all about the dimensions of that. He'll tell us what, in fact, can be done about these things. He's got outlines. He's got ideas. He's got concepts. And as we often say on the broadcast stations here, we know what can and should work because in those places that have implemented these kinds of remedies, they have worked. And so Sandy's going to be talking with us about all of those things. He is going to be focusing in particular upon the things, the questions you always ask, which are, what can I do about this? Am I powerless to respond in some meaningful way? And of course, the answer is no. Sandy Pendleton is going to be with us to tell us that the answer is no and identify ways in which we can not only individually, but by inspiring our elected and appointed representatives to respond to this problem. It is a social justice issue. It is a safety issue. It's a security issue. It is an issue that goes to the very, very lives and livelihoods of all of us in America, including right here in Wisconsin. Sandy Pendleton, once again, going to be joining me for the second portion of this first hour. Looking forward to that very much. And also taking your calls about his initiatives, his projects, his ideas. So be a part of that, too. In our second hour, the second half of our second hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show, inviting to our discussion a second good friend, a guest, also someone who is equally involved in advocacy here in Wisconsin. The issue is the environment, and in particular, the impact that the fossil fuel industry has on our communities. Once again, it is a social justice issue. And Dean Muller is going to be here. He is the chief executive and the leader of a wonderful group that is involved in identifying mechanisms for addressing this problem throughout the state of Wisconsin. It's called the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice Initiative. Dean Muller, who has been leading this charge, leading this advocacy for many years, is going to be here to describe the nature of the problem about which you know a lot, but probably not as many things as Dean knows. He's going to describe for you the specific focus of this group that he leads, again, called the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice Initiative. He is going to be also chatting with us about the specific focus of this group when it comes to, yes, that's right, tort litigation and the mechanisms by which individuals, groups of people can initiate tort litigation, that is civil litigation in our courts here in Wisconsin, presumably once again throughout the nation as well, tort litigation as a way of remediating the environmental issues caused by the fossil fuel industry right in our own backyards. Dean has a spectacularly interesting presentation to make to all of us, and once again, inviting your comments, your questions to Dean and to me about this particular initiative. We're going to be looking forward to Dean's participation in this, the Maggie Dawn Show, in the second half of our second hour. Stay tuned for that as well. Again, at the end of our first hour, listening to Sandy Pendleton, being a part of our conversation having to do with reckless driving. Those two major guests here on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Wednesday, August 6th. Again, delighted that you will be a part of this. Call us. Be a part of that discussion. That number, once again, 855-752-4842. As always, however, as Maggie does, as Jacob does, as other hosts who have the pleasure and the dignity and the honor of sitting in for Maggie in those instances when she is not here, rarely not here, we begin with some significant breaking news in America that also have some rule of law and social justice aspects to them as well. We know that we have got a national crisis, and yes, indeed, I've spoken about it. Maggie's talked about it this way. It is a medical health crisis as well. That crisis, of course, firearms in America, the numbers of guns out there, and the slaughter that continues in America on a regular basis. The number of mass shootings every single year continues to increase. The graph is dramatically going in the wrong direction. Again, we know well that these kinds of mass shootings, situations where four or more people are shot, they may die, they may not. Four or more people shot, that happens with alarming frequency in our nation, and yes, indeed, right here in the state of Wisconsin as well. We know, like the other issues we're going to be talking about this afternoon, we know what can solve this problem, at least begin to, again, mediate it somewhat. We've got those mechanisms out there to stop the onslaught, this health care, this health emergency in our nation. And it takes courage. It takes courage, but not a whole lot, candidly, to go into the legislature and make these things happen, passing laws at the federal level, at the state level, to try to address the issues that each one of us confronts. Safety and security compromised by too many guns, too many people out there using them in ways not contemplated and not protected, plainly, by the Second Amendment to the Constitution. We know well that a justice named Antonin Scalia changed our nation dramatically a number of years ago in a case called Heller versus D.C., finding for the first time in our nation's history that you do indeed have a constitutional right under the Second Amendment to possess and own and presumably to use weapons, a handgun in particular, for the purpose of self-defense in your particular residence, in the privacy of your home, for self-defensive purposes. That changed the entire meaning of the Second Amendment. It led to another case down the road called Bruin, in which, again, the Supreme Court expanded the breadth of Heller to include public places as well, the right to carry weapons. Significantly, in those cases, as articulated by Antonin Scalia, we know that that right, like every single right in the Constitution, is not unconditional. It is conditioned on restrictions related to what? To manufacture, to transfer, to sale, to use, times, places, circumstances, all of those things, appropriate and safety-based restrictions on the capacity to own and use weapons. All of that, the legal, the historical background, To note, as you all know well, that it has happened again in America. It has happened again just today. Five soldiers shot today, this day, at Fort Stewart Hunter. It's an Army airfield in Georgia. The gunman, who was apprehended just a couple of hours ago, identified. He's a sergeant in the soldiers' unit. We do not yet have a motive for this shooting, but I suspect that's going to come about at some point in the not-too-distant future. But we know that it has happened again. We know that other soldiers in the vicinity subdued, they tackled the assailant, the gunman, and brought him to the floor. At least two of them have suffered some serious injuries. Again, the latest report is that they're all stable at the hospital. They're being treated at a place called Memorial Health Hospital's Trauma Center. That's the only one in the particular region. The three other wounded soldiers are also being treated at a base hospital. Nonetheless, suffering injuries, probably not life-threatening, but it has happened again in America, this time once again at a military base. The base, it is the home of the 3rd Infantry Division, and the shooting took place in particular in the 2nd Armored Brigade Combat Team area. Now, what do we know about this particular area and this particular base? About 8,800 people live there at Fort Stewart, and it is located somewhere, it's just outside of Savannah, Georgia, about 40 miles southwest of Savannah. That's what we know about the location and the other aspects of this. We know as well that the Georgia Governor, Brian Kemp, he's expressed concern, of course, for the victims, right to do, and their families, and called the shooting a tragedy. Yes, indeed, wildly understating that it is human tragedy once again visiting America. The FBI obviously involved in this as well, along with military and Army Criminal Investigation Division authorities. President has been briefed on this as well. We know that this comes in the wake of other shootings on military bases in recent years. Remember when a gunman killed three people at a naval air station in Pensacola, Florida. That was in 2019, not all that long ago. He was then fatally shot by some other officers at that time. There is more precedent, ugly, horrific, tragic precedent for this as well. Same year, 2019, there was a Navy sailor who fatally shot two shipyard workers at the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard. And we know that in 2014, a soldier is being evaluated for possible PTS opened fire at Fort Hood, Texas, killing three people, wounding 16. When we come back, we'll talk about other major news in America today here on The Maggie Dawn Show.